The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin is here as well.
Hello.
How's it going, Vin?
Great.
Another lively week.
Harry Kane, mate.
We have... Oh, don't. I'm struggling with this.
Okay.
Shall we move on from that?
Let's move on.
Good, because the Evening Show podcast is rammed with stuff that isn't related to the World
Cup. True, very true.
And but it does have some star strikers as well, Vin, to keep that terrible football analogy going. Sir Paul McCartney, the full interview with him from down at his studio called The Mill in Peasemarsh, Sussex. We went to the epicentre of his songwriting hub just the other day, and it was an incredible experience. Thanks for listening to that, Vin, because you didn't get to come down.
No,
I feel terrible about it.
Missed out.
It was a special experience. We've got a classic album this week. It's from Jeff Buckley. It's called Grace, and it was magical going back through that.
That was fun.
All the usual bits and bobs as well, plus a taster of David Grohl in interview on The Evening Show. You will have the full thing on next week's Evening Show podcast, but we went up to the Etihad in Manchester on Tuesday night for a very special evening. So that's a little taster. Please enjoy The Evening Show podcast. I'll see you next week.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Really looking forward to sharing something very special with you this evening. A visit to Sir Paul McCartney's inner sanctum. So last week, I went down to meet Paul at his studio in Sussex. It's called The Mill, and it's an amazing building. He's lived down there since the 70s, and I was once told, right, it was always best to interview someone where they were most comfortable. It was incredible to be with him on a glorious sunny day where he'd created so many memories and so much music. It really was a magical experience. We were surrounded by pieces of music history. There's a Grammy kicking about, an Ivor Novello. Bill Black's double bass from all the early Elvis records was hanging on the wall as well. And I believe also his school desk, Paul McCartney's school desk from when he was a little kid, was sitting there as well. So here he is, the most successful musician and composer in pop music history. So Paul McCartney on The Evening Show. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, man, you're very welcome.
I think, Paul, the last time I saw you, very different circumstances. We were in Soho Square, and they were digging the first part of Crossrail, and there was a terrible racket outside. But today we're in The Mill, which is your studio, which is an incredible, peaceful,
very
inspiring
place.
Tell me a little. Can you tell me a little bit about this place?
Yeah. Well, if you look out the window, down there, there's the English Channel.
Yep.
So, and along the... there, if you see a car, there's a little road there. And I was driving along there anyway, and I looked up here and saw a windmill on the hill. So I thought, oh, I'll go and visit that. Mm-hmm. I was just tooling around. And I found I couldn't get up here. I tried to find a road up to here, but I couldn't find one. Mm-hmm. I had to go right round there or right round there, you know, the other way. So I thought, well, that's a good place for me. You can't get to it easily, you know. Yeah. And so I looked into it all, and it turned out the people who owned they had orchards around here. Anyway, they were selling it. Great. So I bought it and made it my studio.
So, Paul, new album on the way. It's called Egypt Station, and it's based on a picture you did about 30 years ago. So what was the moment that you suddenly realised that was the picture that would give you the title for the album? Was there a chance encounter with it, or how did it come about?
Yeah, I don't know if it was as long as 30 years ago. Was it? Bloody hell. Everything's 30 years ago. Okay. So I did a picture called Egypt Station. I only called it Egypt Station because it had these kind of Egyptian things in it. And it so when I'd finished it, it looked like they were all kind of standing at a station waiting for a train. So I called it Egypt Station. And then I thought, more recently, I thought, I like that title. Egypt Station is kind of conjures up something. You know, it's you can put any interpretation on it you want. So, and then I looked at the picture again. I thought maybe that could be the cover. So I started to get excited about all that. And so I was telling the guys when we were making the album, saying, oh, here's what we're doing. It's like a sort of journey. Egypt Station starts off, we start in the station and the first song comes on. And then each song is like a different station. Yeah. So it gave us some idea to kind of base all the songs around, you know, that it was all coming from this one place.
I always think you swear beautifully as well. It's very rare to hear it, but I watched the documentary recently when you were talking about George Harrison's hair, and you had a mate who said it's like a f***ing turban. When was the last time you had a right good sweary rant, Paul? And hope, please tell me it's
I mean, I think
words.
It was this morning. It was this morning, actually, yeah. Well, you know.
Come on, Phil.
My guys know me. It's all right, you know. I mean, here's the thing. You sometimes turn up in a situation and you've got to do something and you think, oh, I don't really want to do this, you know. Or you've got to be filmed. Yeah. And you think, I don't even think I'm looking good, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've got to go through with it. And so, for me, the only way there is just to get just shouted myself more. Yeah, just yeah. Why do I do this? But I always, the last two times I've done it twice in the last couple of days, yeah, actually, because I've been doing stuff now. Yeah. See, I've been in a cocoon making a record, right. Enjoying it, playing around. And suddenly you're coming out of the closet, you know. And it's good, though, because what it reminds me of was George in the Beatles. And George would often be the one when we'd be having to do something we didn't fancy. He'd go, why are we doing this? What the is this? I don't want to do this. So then it was like, yes. You know, you maybe say, well, George, I think we have to do it. And you'd be going, yes, great. So none of us have to do it. He's got us off it. Yeah. So brilliant. Always good to have one of them around,
by
you know.
Proxy.
So I have to do that for myself now.
And he put 40 quid in the swear box as well. That was Sir Paul McCartney on The Evening Show. Plenty more to come from him tonight, so stick with me.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
This is What's the Story?
Radio X. What's the story? Radio X.
I've been asking you for your favourite Oasis tracks and the story why. Now, I'm not after the obvious stuff either. This is a chance to go off the beaten path with the Radio X record collection. I'm not after I Live Forever, I Wonderwall, or Don't Look Back in Anger. I want Gas Panic, Do You Wanna Be a Spaceman, Round Our Way, or something I've not even thought of. And tonight we've got a massive Oasis fan on the phone, all the way from Liverpool, I think. Jamie, are you there, sir?
I am here, I'm here.
In terms of your Oasis record collection, right, have you gone and bought it all on CD, then all in vinyl? Have you got all the singles? Have you collected it all through the years?
Yeah, I've got plenty of vinyls of them, a couple of singles, plenty of my dad's ones as well, at East Lone.
Ah, brilliant. Have you made the mistake that I've made of lending them to people and never seeing them again?
Oh, no, I'm not that silly.
Now, Jamie, listen, I know you've got a really good choice tonight, because I know what it is already, but can you just give us your story behind the Oasis track you love the most?
Yeah, I've chosen Dig's East Dinner. It's a great, more of a fun song, like you wouldn't hear normally hear from Oasis. I originally heard it when I went and seen Noel. Yeah, I went and seen him, and he was at the Echo Arena on his High Flying Bird tour, and he said he's dedicating this song to Dig's. He didn't think that he'd be there in the crowd. And it was about a singer from a band that he used to drink with in a pub in Pazachley in Liverpool.
Yeah, that's brilliant. See, the thing is, right, as a Liverpool man, right, following a Manc band, there's loads of banter on stage as well, isn't there, between the Liverpool-Manchester thing, because Russell Rusty, the bass player, is a huge Liverpool fan, and there's been a few times on stage where City have just played Liverpool. Now, have you ever been at a gig where he starts winding them up and giving you a bit of a hard time for being Scousers?
No, I have, yeah, but he always turns it around and says he loves being around the Scouts, he loves being in the city performing, because we have such a good crowd.
Absolutely right. You know, and that's one of the great things as well. I think he's a guitar tech, a Scouser, Russell's a Scouser. There are so many Liverpool people involved in that band. And I tell you what, most of the Oasis fans that I've seen at gigs have always been mad Scousers as well. So, Jamie, thanks very much for coming on tonight.
Oh, no worries, mate. You're welcome.
Ah, nice one. There he is, Jamie. Massive Oasis fan. And what a great choice as well. And a lovely little story behind it as well. This is Dig's East Dinner on Radio X. Jamie's What's the Story?
Smart Radio X.
This is your evening show, and you can hear from the noise in the background that we are live at the Etihad in Manchester. What an amazing place to be tonight, because we're watching the crowds funnel in tonight to see Foo Fighters playing in Manchester. What a special night it's going to be. We've just done the stage walk. Me and producer Vin wandered down the actual path that Dave Grohl will be taking before he plays tonight in front of something like 60,000 people at Manchester City's home ground, the Etihad. What a brilliant atmosphere already. The support acts tonight, the Cribs and Wolf Alice, are about to take the stage. We can see some roadies just beginning to do a little bit of sound checking for the Cribs, but you can already tell there are a lot of people here very excited about seeing Foo Fighters tonight. And in just a little while, we will be sitting down backstage in the rehearsal room with Dave Grohl to get ourselves ready for the show tonight. And he will be full of the usual carry-on, I am sure. So Dave Grohl a little bit later on tonight. And Dave Grohl, very good friends with Sir Paul McCartney. And the big guests keep coming here on Radio X. Tomorrow night, Macca, the most successful songwriter in music history, will be on The Evening Show. So please make sure you come and join me for that. Tomorrow night from
7 o'clock. But back here right now, you can hear it in the background. There's definitely going to be a special atmosphere tonight in Manchester. We're just walking past some of the crowd now. A few football strips on show. There's a man in an Argentina strip, a man after my own heart. I'm going to say a quick hello to this chap over here. We're going to just walk over. What's your name, mate?
Diego.
Diego, have you come from Argentina just for this?
No, I live in London, but I follow them around the world.
I love Argentina, particularly Maradona, for your work against England over the years. Now, so what are you looking forward to the most tonight? What songs do you want to hear?
You know, the classics and some oldies.
And tell me about your flag as well. You've got what I would describe as Dave Grohl language on the flag. Do you want to talk me through it?
This is how he call us in Argentina in March. Low crazy. Can we swear on the radio?
We'll bleep that out for you, don't you worry. Listen, have a brilliant night tonight, Diego. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
So there we go. The punters are getting ready. People from Argentina here to see Diego Maradona. No, to see our man Dave Grohl in just a second. What a brilliant night it's going to be here tonight at the Etihad in Manchester.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
So on the new album, Greg Kirsten's produced it. And yeah. He's a name that pops up all the time at the moment.
He's flavour of the month.
Tips and a lot of good stuff. What was your relationship like with him, and how did the conversation come about to get him on board with this?
Well, what happened was, quite a few years ago now, three, 4 years ago, I was going to do a piece of music for a animated film. And I just wanted to do this one piece of music because I'd just written it and it was hot to record it. And I'd managed to persuade Lady Gaga to sing it. Yeah. She would be the character in this movie. So I knew we were going to do it in LA, and I was looking for someone to produce it. And my manager suggested Greg. He said he's really good. You know, he's like one of the new good guys around. He said he'd met him. Mm-hmm. So he's a nice guy. I think you'll get on well. So I thought, okay, well, it's just the one song, so I'll try him out. So we had a good time, and Lady Gaga sang great, and we did a big live session with all the horns and the drums and bass all in the same room. So it was very exciting. And he handled that very well, and he made a good track out of it. So I thought, next time I'm going to do an album, I'll think of Greg. Yeah. And then what happened was, he was always working with Beck.
Yeah.
So then suddenly he came to big success because Beck got like Album of the Year, probably with Kanye moaning in the back. That's not a good way. Anyway, so he got that. And then he got with Adele, having ridiculous success. And he wrote Hello with her, and plays most of the instruments on it. So then I was thinking, I'm going to use him. I was due to work next with him on this album. But I thought, the only trouble is everyone's going to think I'm using him because he's flavour of the month.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually knew him before any of these people. So, but that didn't put me off. I just thought, he's a great guy.
What about Come On To Me then? Can you tell us the story behind that song? Where did you write it? Where were you when that came to you? Because that's the second on the double A side.
Yeah, I was just in my room and playing my guitar. And I just got the little opening riff. Just thought, I just thought that was a nice little riff. So, and then it started to give me this idea of like a pickup thing that would have happened in the 60s. Wouldn't happen now because I'm happily married. Nancy, did you hear that? But in the 60s, you know, I would just imagine the scene, which would be at a party somewhere, and you see this great girl and she gives you a look. And so, you know, the opening line is, I saw you flash a smile, seemed to me to say that you wanted so much more than casual conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm off and running then with that. Yeah. So it's basically just talking to this girl who I fancy at a party. Let's try and find somewhere where we can be alone.
Yeah, dedicated on the road every night to Nancy, of course.
Yeah.
That's the way to get out of that one.
That's right, thank you.
This is your quarter century, isn't it? 25 solo records.
Yeah.
When you look back across those 25, does it feel like 25?
Oh, is this the 25th?
This is the
25th. See, I'm not counting.
No idea. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. No, I'm not counting.
Yeah.
No, it's good. 25th feels good. I mean, I'm lucky, really, because I'm allowed to make records. Mm. You know, that's the way I feel. I'm allowed to take a guitar and take a lead and plug it in an amp and play guitar. Mm. I still feel kind of privileged.
Yeah.
To be able to do that, something I always wanted to do, and I still love doing it. When we rehearse with the band, you know, plug in the guitar or the bass or something, turn it up nice and loud. So to make a record is still, to me, something I didn't think I'd still be allowed to do. I thought somebody would have pulled the plug.
Yeah.
So I just love it.
It's amazing to hear Maka saying that, isn't it? Just incredible. So let's get into it. Yeah, from Egypt Station, the new album, his 25th solo album. Can you believe it? This is Paul McCartney and Come On To Me on Radio X.
Radio X. Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
And now let's talk 80s power ballads. Now, I haven't gone mad. Trust me, I haven't gone mad. In a second, I'm going to play our record of the week from the mighty Weezer. But before we do that, I just thought I'd give you a little look back at their history of doing cover versions, because they've got quite a rich history of doing this kind of stuff. And it's safe to say that they have covered a lot of ground over their incredible career. So Rivers Cuomo and the band, back, way back, started off by doing a Pixies cover. So have a little listen to this. This is Valoria. So that does kind of sort of slip into the heavier end of the Weezer scale. But then they got onto a bit of Radiohead a little bit after that, and they did a cover of Paranoid Android. So far, all the covers have been pretty heavy. In fact, they do quite a lot of Nirvana live as well. I think the song they do is Aneurysm when they're on stage. But something unusual's happened recently. They've gone a little bit softer after a social media campaign to get them to record a song by the mighty 80s band Toto. Now, I'm not losing my mind here. They eventually gave in after a lot of pressure and provided what the fans were looking for. So, Weezer fans, this is all down to you, and it's become our record of the week here at Radio X. Still can't believe I'm saying this. It's a head turner of a record of the week. Weezer and Africa.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Now, you might have noticed that there is a World Cup on, and if that's the case and you're listening to Radio X right now, the chances are you're not really a football fan. So we've done a bit of audience profiling. What producer Vin tells me is counter-programming, so we thought we'd choose an artist tonight for our classic album chat that might appeal to the kind of person that wouldn't be interested in the World Cup. So this evening we have gone for Jeff Buckley and the classic album Grace, released on the 23rd of August 1994, which is nearly 24 years ago now, which really did shock me when we looked it up today. The debut album from him, it was in fact his only studio album. It was recorded in New York, and it includes those incredible tracks Hallelujah, So Real, Grace, Corpus Christi Carol, Last Goodbye, Lilac Wine, and Lover, You Should Have Come Over. When it was first released, it got terrible reviews actually, barely sold, and it became an absolute cult classic. So it just tells you, don't be upset if ever you get a bad review for your album if you've written one. It has since sold over 2 million copies worldwide, and it's turned the late Jeff Buckley into a musical icon. The album is absolutely beautiful, showcases Buckley's pure acrobatic voice and his astonishing guitar work. For any guitar fans out there, it really is held up in very high esteem. It's vulnerable, earnest, impressive, as I say, recorded in New York, and Jeff Buckley helped to produce it as well. Now, he wrote the lyrics to title track Grace after saying goodbye to his girlfriend at an airport, which everybody can relate to. I think it's about not feeling so bad about your own mortality when you have true love. That's what he had to say about that moment. Now, how about this for a real feather in the cap, right? The exam board Edexcel added the song to their GCSE music syllabus in 2008. It really is a sign that your music has struck a chord with a lot of people. So the vocal for So Real was recorded at 3 o'clock in the morning. Buckley's producer used the first take he sang, and he did the whole thing in one single take. So gives you an idea of how good his vocal performance was. And a version of Corpus Christi Carol was introduced to Buckley by a good friend of his, and he decided to say thanks by covering it on the album. So let's indulge ourselves in a bit of Jeff Buckley. This really is a beautiful thing to listen to tonight. So just take a second, calm everything down, and have a listen to these two beautiful songs, Hallelujah and The Last Goodbye.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The
the Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Just listen to that. Absolutely amazing. A real air of serenity has swept over the studio, which doesn't happen very often. How about that for a classic album? Grace from Jeff Buckley, recorded and released in 1994. Absolutely brilliant stuff. You just heard The Last Goodbye, which was the album's second single and Buckley's most successful single during his lifetime. It was originally called Unforgiven as well. What a lovely title. And before that, you heard Hallelujah, which of course was a Leonard Cohen cover, but Buckley's version is probably the most famous version, actually. Been inducted into America's Library of Congress's National Recording Registry, which basically means it's been deemed culturally significant. What an honour. Countless musicians have covered the song, and when it was used on The X Factor in 2008, Buckley's version went straight back into the charts at number 2. It was inspired by a cover of the Leonard Cohen original by John Cale from The Velvet Underground. Time magazine called the song a tiny capsule of humanity. It's one of the great songs. How good is that? A re-released Legacy Edition features demos, live performances, and a DVD of documentary footage. So go and check it out. Grace really is a magical, magical classic album.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Last week, I went down to Pease Marsh in Sussex to see Sir Paul McCartney. How about this for a record? 100 million solo singles sold, 700 million album sales, over 1 billion worldwide record sales. It's an incredible career. He also holds the record for the largest concert attendance ever in Brazil back in 1990 with 184,000 people, and they're the ones that were counted. Anyway, he has his 25th solo album coming out later this summer. It's called Egypt Station, and I just played the first single, Come On To Me. It's classic Macca. But when we got down to his gaff, he made us a brew, which was an amazing experience in itself, and he invited us into his studio. It's called The Mill. It was amazing. He showed me a little glass baby grand piano, and he asked if I knew what it was, and I didn't recognise it, didn't realise what it was. Then he played the distinctive harpsichord sound and started singing that song, Because the World is Round. Incredible. You know, the song that was written on, absolutely amazing. He even wrote a song on his computer in front of us and played a little drum solo just to get us in the mood for the interview before we went upstairs. But even after playing over 5,000 gigs in his glittering music career, he still has nights where things go horribly wrong. Here is Sir Paul McCartney telling us about his worst gig.
One question I'd love to ask you, and we do this with all the artists that come on, about it's offering an inspiration to bands who might be having a bad patch and struggling a little bit. What's the worst gig you've performed? We've had people breaking legs, we've had stories about all sorts of equipment blowing up, things going horribly wrong. What's the one that sticks out in the back of your mind?
Well, there's a couple of early days tend to be the worst. We've had, you know, when your amps didn't work and stuff in the cavern, that happened because the condensation from the sweat would get in the amps and that would all blow everything up, you know.
Did you get electrocuted?
No, just about missed that one. We never knew about that, you know. But then later people really did. But our guys now, from then on, know that you've got to ground all the equipment. Yeah. But we never knew about that. It just was, you know, you just lick your finger and hit the mic quick.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get a belt, you're probably all right, you know. But so we had a lot of that. And we had some gigs where nobody showed up, and the only people who did would be a couple of Teds.
Yeah.
And they start throwing money at us, pennies and things, you know.
Yeah.
So that was, we just picked them up. Yeah. And so thank you.
Spent them later on.
Yeah. More recently, we played the Apollo in New York. The great, great Apollo, and we were so chuffed playing there because all the people we loved had played there, and it's like, you know, it's like a sacred place to us, you know, so to get there and play there. And we were doing a tribute. We were doing a song called Hitchhiker, which is a Marvin Gaye song, and we were going to do that. And we had some girl dancers, real 60s, little mini skirts doing the sort of hitchhike. It was a dance as well. And in the middle of that, we're playing it. It's going great. All these famous people in the audience, there's Keith Richards, Howard Stern, there's Tony Bennett. I mean, you know, God, Chris Rock. It was like millions of people there. And suddenly, this like almighty noise. And everyone's just looking. And I forget what it was exactly that happened. It was the monitors had gone off. And our guy on the monitors was panicking around, and they fixed it, and they put it back on, but it was on full volume anyway. Yeah, yeah. So in the middle of all of this, and this great gig that we really wanted to go well, suddenly there's this unholy noise. And so I had to cover. So I was just going to chat into the audience and stuff. Hey, good to see Tony Bennett's here. Come on up here, Tony. Come on, you can sing.
And all those days in Hamburg helped out,
Yeah, and then anyway, it worked out and things came back on, so we just did the song again. But that was a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, I've got two last things to ask you. The second from last, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon. Terrible book. I apologise for the title. It's lowbrow. But it's about awkward encounters in the bathroom, and it was all based on bumping into Sean Connery in the toilet, who's my hero. And we had this really awkward conversation, and I just said, it's a real pleasure to meet you, sir. And he just said, no, it's not really the time, is it, Sean? But that was good enough for me. And then the idea for the book came from that. Who's the most famous person you've bumped into in the bathroom? So I'd love to find out Sean Connery's story and continue as a chain. We've been asking this question for 18 months now, and Jack Nicholson's been in there, Keith Richards, all sorts of great and weird stories. Now, if you don't mind, Sir Paul, would you share a story with us about your best Slash Gordon?
Me? Probably... Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
I think he was in the next pew. And, we were there, doing the business and just sort of trying not to look at each other. And, all right there, mate. Yeah, okay, yeah. And somehow we started talking about vegetarian. And you go, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. And he's running away. And... I didn't look.
Yeah.
You don't look.
You don't.
You don't look.
No.
Eyes front.
Yeah. The last thing, Paul, just before we go, the last time I came to see you was in Cologne. And I got in a little bit of bother with a fire engine going missing. And I'm meant to be going back to Germany with my missus. And I don't think I'm going to get back into the country. So I think the only way for me to get back into Germany would be if you maybe left me a little voice message to say, I'm Sir Paul McCartney, and it was all just a silly misunderstanding in Cologne a few years ago. So I can use that with the police and passport people and my missus, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. This is Paul McCartney. I'm making a plea on behalf of this young man who stole the fire engine. He didn't really do it. It wasn't him. It was some other guys, and he really deserves to come back into Germany. So, bitte, machen schnell. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sir Paul.
So that was it. I'm free to travel to Germany again. All thanks to Sir Paul McCartney.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Feel incredibly lucky. On Tuesday night, we got to go up to the Etihad, Manchester, to see the Foo Fighters playing up there. It was an incredible gig, about 2.5, 2.75 hours. It was just brilliant. What a show. They really put everything into it. But before that, we were invited back to the Inner Sanctum for the Foo Fighters. We're in their dressing room, their little rehearsal room. I say little, it was massive. Big drapes, chandeliers even, and all their instruments set out. And they set up this lovely little area for us to have a chat with David Grohl about all things Foo Fighters. He was on great form as well. Just wandering around really comfortably. We caught him walking out of catering and he had half a baguette, pretended it was a phone. He was just sort of larking around, mucking about. Then Taylor Hawkins wandered in, had a little warm up on the drums, had a bit of a chat with him as well that wasn't on mic. And he was really interested as well. He said that he gets appalling stage fright. The first three songs he absolutely hates before he settles in and finds himself relaxing. But then Dave Grohl walked in, was really friendly to everybody. I have to say that he is exactly the same away from a microphone and away from all the publicity as he is when he's doing it. He's such a lovely bloke. And he sat down, was really open with us and said, fire away, ask us anything. We were out once about 10 years ago in Portugal and Taylor Hawkins was walking around the bar asking everyone to punch him in the stomach.
Oh my God.
And I had a right good go at it. You know, I gave him a really good punch and just a little bit in the heart, which I think he remembered.
Yeah.
What's the most mental thing you've seen Taylor Hawkins do when you've been on tour?
Well, I do remember, he doesn't drink anymore, but I do remember when he first joined the band. I mean, we were like in love with each other. Like the minute the first time we had a beer together, we're like, we're going to be best friends for the rest of our lives. And it's true. Like we still really, we're like this.
Yeah.
And so he joins the band and I had him come over to my house. I was living in Los Angeles. I had him come over to my house and we sat in front of my stereo and played records with a bottle of tequila. And we do a shot of tequila and listen to a song. And then he started saying, like, okay, let's do two in a row. So we hit two tequilas in a row and listen to a song. Then we do, like, three in a row. And then we hit three in a row, and he kind of went, hold on. and he went to the bathroom and just threw up all over the place, came right back and said, like, all right, let's do four in a row.
Taylor said he still gets really, really nervous.
He does.
How are you with the old nerves after all these
years? I don't get nervous anymore.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is a bit weird, yeah.
It scares me a little bit.
Right.
When does someone says, like, there's 100,000 people here tonight, I'm like, f***ing, let's go. out there like, ah.
What does make you nervous?
What makes me nervous? You know, being a parent. There's a thousand things that make you nervous being a parent.
Yeah, sure.
But that's the thing. Like, once you become a parent, you start thinking of, like, you know, if you had any phobias before, elevators or airplanes or bridges or whatever, your heights.
Yeah.
And you've got a kid, you start thinking, like...
Danger.
No, you start thinking, like, I can't be a f***ing You know, get over it.
Yeah.
Get on the plane and shut your f***ing mouth.
Yeah.
Get on stage and play the gig.
That was David Grohl speaking to us up at the Etihad in Manchester. And actually, that night, he dedicated the song Walk to his daughter, who was sitting with her legs crossed and her earplugs in, listening to her dad. And she looked so embarrassed when he put the spotlight on her. It was a brilliant moment.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thanks very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart, here with the producer, Vin.
Hello.
Remember, next week you can hear the David Grohl interview from Manchester in full. So please download next week's edition absolutely free. Radio X.